5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
Welcome to the China Jedi Tour, where we voyage out to meet, visit, and see both normal or strange, known or unknown people, places, communities, civilizations, and events, to boldly bring you original and completely useless but sometimes useful content and informational information, and as always, shine humor, love, and light on Chinese life.
May the smile be with you.
Worker, 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 work, the con is on. The time has come for procrastination.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the China Jedi Tour, episode 3. We've got my famous esteemed co-host today, none other than...
Anthony Benton, back again.
Yes, but this time, not back in the office, Anthony, we're in the back of a bus.
A bus.
Yes.
With a really tight seatbelt.
Yes.
Made for a 3-year-old.
Funny how the tight asses get the tight seatbelts, isn't it?
Oh my God, it's crushing my ribs.
It's amazing though now, all these safety videos on buses in China, and obviously the safety belts, even the man came up and told us to put it on.
Yeah, it's very nice watching buses crash while you're actually on a bus. Watching a bus crash on the TV whilst driving a bus is very, very calming, very soothing.
Yes, indeed.
I feel very comfortable on this bus. I'm glad I got this seatbelt made for a 3-year-old.
Well, listeners, we are on tour today. We've been invited to a very special place in the Guangdong region of China. None other than, what's the place we're going to, Anthony?
Kaiping.
Yeah, Kaiping.
Kaiping. Never actually heard of it until we were heading there.
Yeah, it's about 2 hours away by bus. So we're with the research team and the camera crews, as it were, behind us today. And it's a 2-hour bus. And we're going through, well, what could only be described as... lovely green fields and
the rural areas of Guangdong, I guess.
Yeah,
lots of fishing farms.
Yeah, lots of fishing palms, and it's just quite
fishing
pleasant.
Fishing palms or fishing farms? Fishing palms. That'll be interesting. Oh, look at that tree, it's growing a fish.
And we're just going along. The bus isn't very full, so we thought we'd just introduce ourselves and tell you where we're going to, listeners.
That's a little disconcerting. A very, very empty bus. So well, are we going to the right place?
Apparently, Kaiping, formerly Romanized in Cantonese as Hoiping, Anthony, is located in the west of the Pearl River Delta, and it's actually a prefecture-level city of Jiangmen. Yeah. Now, apparently, this place has a population of about 680,000 people. And a lot of the people actually moved away from here. It's famous for that. Chinese that moved out and went to America, Canada, and places like that.
Yeah, so I read about that. The research has filled me in. Many, many people emigrating from this one particular tiny little village. Strange.
Yeah, and we're off to see a...
we're going there now. Like, everyone left, but now we're going there. So it'll be interesting to see what's left behind.
We've been invited, haven't we, China Jedi, to a traditional Chinese music festival, which should be quite interesting. And then we're going to meet a chap who's put some money into the, you know, the conservation of the area, of the old town, doing it back up to its old former illustrious self. And so we're going to have a good talk with him.
A Chinese guy with a very Chinese name. Da-da-da, da-da-da. Yes, his name's Rocky.
Yes. Well, hopefully he'll put up a good fight. So, listeners, when we get there, we'll whack open the studio tour and we'll be in touch again.
We'll switch back on.
Yeah.
See you there.
In a bit.
So, welcome to Tanko.
Yeah.
The Tanko Community Project.
Privilege.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the invite. It's been amazing looking around.
Mm-hmm. And privilege
now
to
see. Yeah.
To be with the main man, Anthony, of this project. None other than
Rocky Deng. Actually, I'm come from Hong Kong, was originally born in Vietnam. So just like one of the overseas Chinese, you know, go like a circle. Going back, my parents in China, so I'm coming back to China.
And of course, for the listeners, the reason that we're here today in Kaiping is that a good friend of ours, Don, who's lived in Zhuhai a long time, has known Rocky for a long, long time.
30 years, friends.
30.
Wow. Over 30 years.
Goodness me.
Yeah. Which is amazing. And Don, very luckily, I appreciate that, Don has introduced us to Rocky, invited us out here. And we've had a great day yesterday, and today we're being shown around a lot of things as well, Anthony. We've just been listeners to these amazing granary barns.
Those ones are actually built during the Cultural Revolution, and it's granary supposed to collect all the rice and whatever the harvest they have from all the villages nearby here, and they have to carry walking hours and hours to there to contribute their part of the crop into the government. So that's the granary is holding a lot of them. We have five granary there, and still luckily still remain.
And the locals had to bring their crops for the government before they could
feed themselves. So they have to contribute. They usually, I think at that time, depend on the period, they only can keep 25% after they reach the target. So they all work hard. And not only that, when you see the granary surrounding, there's a lot of factories. All the factories are also the commune factories. So all work going there to work for the government and contribute the working force to the nation.
And of course, life moves on and things change and people come and people go and different systems come in. And now, of course, these granaries are just left derelict with no use in, and we've walked in them today.
And some amazing old buildings as well that are just completely left to ruin, which is...
Yeah, but the granaries, Anthony, when we went in, like an auditorium with the vocals, it would be incredible to do some percussion in there. So, of course, just for the listeners, I think we might have to do a little music festival here, Rocky.
Fantastic.
Like the Magic Island, that would be amazing. International cultural, hub for mixing in different things. So that's exciting.
That's right. Yeah, so let's make good use of it so that we can have to show the government that actually they don't have to tear it down. We can preserve it.
No need to tear it down.
And make good use of it. And it's part of the culture, part of the history. So something that had to remain. But again, that's what I'm here for too. So we want to show them something like revitalize it. So something can be used rather than leave it there as a history site.
Rot away.
So we can organize music festival or food fair, whatever, where so we can attract people from all over the city, come over to aware the situation so they can learn and understand more or feel more about the history of the area.
Talking about history, you told us a lot about what's going on in this local area. They have these towers that they call Diaolos.
Yeah, the Diaolo. So this is the area for a lot of overseas Chinese, the main overseas Chinese area they come from. When you go to America, San Francisco, Chinatown, or New York Chinatown, and you go to the market, most of the people there are speaking a Taishan dialect. Taishan is this area, one of the Wuyi counties.
Yes, it's a famous area because many people all went abroad from just this area.
It's more Kaipingese in America than there is in Kaiping.
So,
interesting.
Yeah. So they left over a lot of villages, empty villages, a beautiful mansion house, and those days, the men tried to travel overseas and get some job and work and make money and send money back to their wife and the kids so that they can raise them properly. So a lot of them actually building an impressive mansion Western taste into it as well as a local culture. So it's a lot of competition.
They are amazing looking buildings. They're very cool.
Yeah, but luckily they still remain a lot, so you can still see it and feel a lot about that. And a lot of deco, beautiful deco inside, but nobody living in it.
Is there any reasoning as to why so many people from this area in particular went abroad?
In those days, actually, it was a hard time, and this is the easy because access to by sea
to Macau,
to Hong Kong, and to overseas, and then they would create a current those days of very very tough life, and some people actually organize later on what they call mai zhu zai, so they selling them as a pig, to oversee work as a labor.
My two time.
So, and it actually created currents. So that's why similar later on leading, like one family adopting another family and sponsor another family, so they're moving that way. So the cousin went overseas and thing is believing is good and they're sending money. So and the cousin behind want to go as well.
Yeah.
So that's how we're leading the way of this.
And then here we are now in 2017 and everyone's gone.
Yeah, everyone's gone. Yeah.
And today we walked around, you took us around some of those old mansions, mm-hmm. Another old post office we saw today. We saw another, we went up at Diallo, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And at the top, there's a 5 floors, listeners. These are the guard towers for the villages because they were always under attack by triads and maybe neighbouring villages. And we went up to the top of the tower, didn't we, Anthony? And there was a scribed in pen or pencil into the wall in English.
And even a calendar.
Yes.
Someone had hand-drawn a calendar and marked day by day how long that they'd possibly been hiding there.
Yes, that's what we're believing. We still actually look into it and hopefully we get more out information from it from the village as well. It's something very interesting. Yes, I think something we believe is the writing on it, so they are expecting day by day, so somehow
and it says 1942 happy victory, so it could be linked to
1946. That one was
46,
but was there 46? There was a 42 as well.
Yeah,
I think,
that 1946
could be linked possibly to the end of the war, maybe,
the end of the Japan.
People hiding out there.
Absolutely, it has
to. But again, it's kind of amazing how they end up in a remote area like here. Mm. So there's a lot of things behind that.
Yeah,
we can look into
tower.
That.
Could be a foreign deserter from the army, maybe. Or
possible. You know, those
just
days, a lot of,
out from
you know,
the
remember
war.
The Herald's story about is a group of British soldier during the Christmas run away from Hong Kong into China.
Right.
Yeah, so, and then on the day, the liberation. That's another story.
Or possibly a sniper.
Was his surname Benton by any chance? Long lost brother of yours, Anthony.
Great grandmother.
Yeah, there's a lot of Delos, a lot of villages still remain a beautiful mansion, and they all like 1940s, 1950s, and so on like that. And unfortunately, they now deserted. I won't call it abandoned because most of the owner now oversee. And unfortunately, the second generation is take quite little interest of doing something about it. Yeah.
So I think probably what a lot of the listeners would like to know is what brings, because you're from Hong Kong.
Yes, I'm from Hong
Kong.
Born
in Vietnam.
That's right.
So you're not from Kaiping.
No.
You don't have any literal roots to it.
No.
Through blood and that.
Yeah.
What on earth brought you here to start this amazing, I'd say philanthropic
project
that we're now seeing and you know, telling our listeners about? How did that come about?
I think some of the government here asking the similar question. Am I here on the spy? I'm here on spy. So, but anyway, after 6 years, they're familiar with and they understand me. Yes, I'm actually born in Vietnam and well, called the Chinese, overseas Chinese Ling as well. I've been back to Vietnam working a number of years too during the time. And I kind of semi-retired when I'm 50. So I traveled to here before and I'm quite impressed with the Delo as a tourist.
Mm.
And then by chance I met Dr. Celia Tan, who actually studied in Hong Kong University at that time. And she actually from here. And
from Kaiping.
From Kaiping. And one of the village called Chang Dong Village, a Xie family, and Mr. Xie from Hong Kong kindly donated some of the money to renovate their ancestral hall, the two ancestral hall, which you can see later. And Celia, so she's the one on charge with it. And when she finished it, and she doesn't know what to do with the ancestral hall and the village itself. So the village is beautiful. I've visited before and I kind of like it and so on. And after we're checking with the villages there and the village ahead and so on, we found it's quite potential that we can do something, and I have a little background of like cultural exchange. So naturally I think, hi, can we do something like the education center? So to show some people about some conservation, preservation, as well as some overseas Chinese history, so that especially students from Hong Kong and the local student here. So we set up a little, you know, education center, but it ended up like a lot of building falling apart.
Yeah.
So I fell in love with the village, so I managed to get some my own personal finance to my retirement fund. Put into that and restored number of the old house that at that time falling down, including one of the very well-known house was its Lee Gardens family, which is CC later one at the site. It's a well-known house, but nobody doing anything, none of government or anything. So we actually, a number of the old house there, we found maybe potential to touch it up and showing how we can be done. So we did like 2-3 houses in a local way. So we kind of partly preserve, partly like conserve it in a very good old traditional way, including we get the craftsmen coming over and draw the wet painting, which is very traditional here, and the decor, which is those one you see there.
Yeah,
they
on the walls.
On the wall.
This is in the video, isn't it, on YouTube?
That's right.
It's a 15-minute video. It's a great video, isn't it, Anthony?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so really good introduction to what Rocky's doing.
That's right.
And that's just part of the project, of
part
course.
Of the project, and also and during the time, we always invite students come over and look how the workmen's doing their work. So hopefully someone get interested and maybe follow.
Well, that's what I found great about what you're doing here, and very interesting, was you didn't just bring in teams of people from outside. It involved the locals. You actually got the locals involved in remembering what the village used to look like and restoring all of the works.
Yes.
So you're like stimulating
work here as well. Like to encourage the local community and local comradeship, because a lot of people, for example, one of the, now he's quite famous now because he was a very great man to do all the wet paintings, but he couldn't make that for a living, so he ended up doing something differently until we recruit him, and now he become very popular and famous, so that he's back to what he liked and what he's doing now.
So
that's exactly what we're aiming to do. Excellent. We're hoping to do same thing that later on when you go to the village, you see some of the painting is not yet finished and halfway finished or something. It's because every time he do something, we will ask some interest group over to look at what he's doing.
I see.
So we're not just completed at one time in some of the part of it.
Yeah,
so
that's
student can involve with it as well.
Well, great story about the student, of course, none other than Cyrus, or CJ, not China Jedi listeners, CJ, who was a student, who came here as an architect, did his studies.
Used to study and at the Wuyi University as an architecture, and he involved with, like what we're doing now, we see Jade, he came in as an intern, or practicing, and then he fell in love with it as well. So we employed him like a full time, and he ended up like working like 4 years with us now.
Doing operations
and following the project either yet. But now he's fully on charge with the Tangko community projects here, which is 20 minutes bicycle ride from Changdong project,
from the village itself.
Yeah, we saw his little video of his design earlier. Yeah. He's got a really nice vision of what he wants to.
Yeah, we'll catch up with Cyrus, I think, a bit later.
Yes, we're back to the Changdong village itself. So Silly and I have been working quite hard on that, and finally we got a reward in 2015. Mm. We received the UNESCO award.
Which is great. That's amazing.
So everybody's surprised, including the government, especially the government, that a private project managed to do that and draw them quite a lot of attention. So we end up now cooperate with them quite a lot of the village, including training some of the government and organize some villagers ahead from different villages over our project to hopefully they can gain something. May not
so
able
they
to earn
can mirror the same thing,
yeah,
do the same,
mirror the same thing, or maybe something that we'd like to prove them actually financially. It somehow it work in terms of just not just restore the place, but make good use of the place in order they can generate some of the income for the village as well. And there are number of small projects we create so that the villagers can involved as well, so that they can earn their living and also be part of it. Now that's what's important to us. So we want to be working together rather than just independently a foreign project.
Fantastic, Anthony. Yeah, really is.
It's amazing. Cool.
Rocky, we, you know, China Jedi, we have a lot of English speaking listeners around the world, actually, especially in China too, who are living and working here. Just to end this part here, if you have a message for them, or anything you'd like to say, I've probably got an idea of what it would be, but coming from your mouth would be better, I think.
Well, I mean, at the moment, I will have a big dream, but again, I have a small dream that people can come, at least the nearby people, like you said, you come to Zhuhai, it's only about 2 hours, Guangzhou is about 2 hours there, and you're surprised to see that it's a completely different part of China.
I actually can't believe it.
So you wouldn't believe. So we like to, you know, encourage more people coming in, enjoying the village life, as well as to helping the economy, definitely. And to understand a bit more, know about more, especially overseas Chinese history, as well as the Daolo background, similar, I mean, as well as like the village life around the area.
It's a beautiful area, surrounded by rice paddy fields and trees.
We're in the post office now that Rocky and his team have renovated, the old post office, which you can stay in. We've got an 80-bed place, I think Cyrus will explain about, over the road, a community centre, and a bar and a restaurant's going to be open in the next few months, and a big library, again, talking about the history and culture here.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, I mean, westernised, let's talk about it, there's nice comfy beds, showers, toilets.
Yeah, people can come and chill out here and enjoy the countryside and look around, see all the old buildings,
and still and have a comfortable
history, and yeah,
comfortable
be comfortable. And
yeah, not luxury, but at least, you know, for example, a different culture. You know, we always have like interesting that we've been working. I've been working with a lot of local village contractors about that. We let them involve with some of the design as well. So just giving example, for example. We kind of need to debate it. We both agree now, and both sides agree now that we need to have one of the Chinese toilet, one is the Western toilet.
Yin and Yang.
Well, I'm happy. I mean, yeah. I can't just say they could. So some people like that, something like that. So, but how many? I mean, what percentage you need for that? So, no, but the hostel, but I'm aiming actually the city people as well as a visitor. So I.
So you need
I
to
like
do some toilet research.
I like the
market research.
exactly. Even the simple thing like this. So maybe like. Can we be like 60-40?
I think 60-40 is good.
60 yeah, in favor yeah, of yeah. the Chinese, you mean?
So this 16. Is the way that you know we balancing. We're respecting their opinion, their culture as well. We can't just decide that, hey, we need that toilet, whether you're using it or not. So, but you know how you've been in China a long time enough, so you know how this strong feeling about this, about using it.
I think, you know, we've got wireless internet here as well, Anthony. Not completely out in the sticks, are we? Stuck in time. So
that's right, definitely. So we're dealing with a lot of overseas students. So we thanks a lot of university overseas camp actually supporting the projects and coming here, right? Like UBC, Stanford. Right now we have the two interns from University of Virginia and Hong Kong University, CTU, and all this. Quite something here to do that as well. So when you do this day, they come here with the purpose also not just a holiday, but to learn something. So we always, you know, have lectures and research for them. So without internet this day, nobody can come. So we actually had to spend quite a lot because the cable not come here, not to the village. Yeah. So we had to specially arranging a cable to reach this area.
Wow.
So that's kind of, you know, we have to pay quite a bit about that. But again, we have to be very, very safe as well. So this something like, you know, balancing again. So we can't just like say, hey, we just make a simple thing. I'm here, not here just for the tourist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's all
of
about
course we're incurring the tourism here.
It's all about connecting, isn't it?
That's right. And also sharing.
Connecting and sharing, integrating.
Yeah.
Rocky Dan, you are the man. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you. Welcome.
This is this is China Jedi. Rocky, where are we now then?
We're actually in one of the villages called Long Ko Village in Kaiping, where they have actually some festival around here, so that people gathering in the village. And usually you see that they have a Bangyang tree on every mention of the village.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, a symptom of...
I like Bangyang.
Yeah. Can you see that over there? You see the rice over there? They're coming up.
With yeah, the beautiful, the rice fields.
The priest used to live over there.
The priest,
of the church, the cathedral behind us. I'm going to show you now. And also, everywhere they have, right in front of they have a pond, which is a feng shui pond.
Feng shui pond.
Yeah, so the water. So that become now, a lot of them actually, a fish pond for the villagers. So,
so just to say, we've driven out, haven't we, in the car, Anthony, from the major city, you know, the busiest Kaiping city, and this is on the outskirts. Yeah,
yeah? Only about 10 minutes away, where it makes everything different.
Yeah, and we've just gone under an arch, and this is a village, it's called the Dragon...
Mouth.
The Dragon Mouth Village.
Yeah, well, translated
directly.
Surrounded
by grass paddy fields.
And you see the rice? That's ready. Yeah, so in 2 months' time, actually maybe even a month time, and the time to be harvested, they all become... yellow and golden.
You know,
and
funnily enough, ridiculous. I've been in China for 13 years. I've never actually looked at how rice grows.
Later on, we're just cycling around, and then you see the little bit of this. You can actually smell them. Excuse me for a second.
It's because you just eat KFC, Anthony, isn't it?
No. Wait. Yeah, all that rice I've eaten, I haven't seen how it grows. Kind of cool, actually, isn't it?
The village on this side are different than the church over there, the cathedral over there. And the head of the village lost the money. So Gambum lost the money. Oh, so finally he had to actually sell this building to the church as well. So,
okay, that's a story for you.
Yeah, quite interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
And the cathedral itself, it was a little clinic they start with. And
wow.
Then they had a school as well. So later you see.
Here it is. This is the cathedral built by a missionary. When are we talking about? When was this stone laid, do you think?
I think about 1940s only.
Okay, 1940s.
Yeah, 1940s only.
Kind of a grey...
At that time, actually, Macau... This is like where you've come from, Zhuhai.
Yeah.
And Macau, actually, a very big missionary centre. And they spread it out to here, to Kaiping as well.
Yeah. It's very... It's kind of that grey, dark, small... narrow brick. I like it. It's beautiful.
And you build like solid and the whole tower. The tower, this particular one is what we call Diaolo, but it's a watchtower one.
Okay, Diaolo.
Yeah. Diaolo actually is a watchtower. Supposedly they get attached to it. Maybe the villagers, like maybe five or six family, can go in and live for a month, a temporary. Yeah. So this is one of the...
So why would they go and live in it temporarily, though, when they have their house?
Because they get attached by other village. Yeah.
Oh, so it's literally a protection for the...
Protection, absolutely. And then the building there is quite solid. And some of them, what they call, they have the little swallow hole, which is supposed to put in gun and put in hot water through.
We don't think about that now, because we live in such a safe world, most of us.
Absolutely.
That your village would be under attack, and you may need a watchtower.
But those days, a lot of village... robbing other village together at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You see, this is part of the old building, it's running that building. It was the school run by the missionary.
Okay.
Yeah.
A Diaolo again, if you could just explain, what does that mean in Chinese exactly, Diaolo?
Diaolo is kind of.
Diaolo.
Diaolo. It's a tower, supposedly in the back or the front of the village. To watch tower, being a watch tower.
Okay. Low meaning building.
Yeah.
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 And Diao, what does Diao?
probably like, you know, somewhere they refine them.
Okay.
You know, calving.
Well, we'll watch this mud, yeah.
Watch it a bit much.
Should have brought our Wellingtons, Anthony.
You did? Oh, you got some of them.
Flip-flops on. Anthony's got his white Rapsy Nesbitt wife beater t-shirt. Yes. Oh, look at that. That's a lovely archway, a tower.
It's an old tree growing up it.
There's a lot of old tree growing up there. I'll show you inside a little bit of it. And this is still have a sign left saying it's the hospital, or the clinic, little clinic, to help the village. Those days.
This is literally, we are listeners looking at a cathedral built by the missionaries 70 years ago, and it's got, is that like a little
arch?
Yeah. That's where you said the clinic was.
Yeah.
And they spread the word of Jesus Christ, yeah?
That's right.
Catholics, you said, right? Did you say Catholic?
Catholic. Mm.
Yeah. Banana trees.
Yeah, surrounded by banana trees. Let me show you something.
Oh, wow.
You imagine that?
Yeah.
Can you look at the floor, the tile,
beautiful, granite, it
still remained beautifully. Wow. And when you see it around the wall on both sides, and that's a lot of Chairman Mao's written on it. So you can tell actually a different time.
Yeah, okay.
A different time. And now it's been using like just literally like a storage house as well.
And a home for chickens.
Home for chickens.
Yeah, not a working cathedral anymore, listeners.
Can you imagine how beautiful all the carving still over
the
there?
The carving is there.
Can you tell me, so this writing from the Mao era, what does it say, Rocky?
We're holding the red flag and moving forward.
Right.
And on this one, it's like, we raised the wisdom of Mao Zedong, our great Mao Zedong.
Okay.
Around. Right. And right in the center is called the Zhong royalty.
Right.
So obviously it has been changed at the time as well. And you see that, actually, I might have some sort of... It's beautiful when you see this one. And again, when you see the wall over there, it's covered by Mao, right? All the Mao writing on top of it. But when you see, there's another layer of it.
Underneath it,
so which is still remain quite beautifully on the corner, and you see it. Wow. So it's a way at those days they're hiding the beautiful wall by writing a lot of Mao's and pays another.
Strange that they went through that. The cultural revolution seemed to be steering people away from culture.
Well, to a new culture.
A new culture.
So this wouldn't have been used in the Mao era for obviously prayers. Would it have been like a meeting hall or a...
I think they're probably using it just for like the Red Guard leaving and so on like that, rather than... Because the next to it is a school, so there's a lot of rooms on it.
Okay.
So you see that?
And the place later that's opening in a few months, the Tandong project...
Well, in 2 months' time, there'll be a Tangko community project.
Okay.
Which is slightly different than the Changdong project. We move on from Changdong project into a, I would say, like, sustainable project, like serving the community as well. So instead of the Changdong project we started... which is more like conservation project.
Was that a village, though? Was that like
this? It's a beautiful village.
Like this it was at once,
and then we
created the funding and did it all up, which is what we're going to see, which is amazing.
Two ancestral halls, temples.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And
the video.
It also into a education center. That's what we received the UNESCO award by the Changdong Heritage Education Center
in 2015.
So we actually encourage students to come and to learn to see how they can protect their own heritage.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. In terms of the Diaolos, you were saying there are around 2,000 around this area of Kaiping, yeah?
At least.
I mean, we didn't know that, did we, Anthony?
Absolutely, and then you're only about 2 hours away.
Yeah.
And you never
UNESCO
heard about
Heritage Site.
You live in a big city.
This is
something like completely different.
Wow. There you go, listeners. This is what we do at the China Jedi on the tour. Okay, Anthony, ready to go?
Makes really interesting pictures. The contrast between
having
like some old bit of history mixed with now like farm work.
Yeah,
basically.
You see the current farm work as well. So last time I was here, they actually pile the potato. They try to cut the potato to replanting them. So this is using it as a storage. But now you see the little hens all the kitchen. So maybe like 2 months' time you come here, it become a lot of chicken running around. So it's functionable in some way. Sure. And
it's cool.
They make it use of it.
That's what I always find fascinating about mainland Chinese. They're very, the word?
Resourceful.
Resourceful. Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted. Yeah, resourceful people. They always find a way to use things. Everything.
I have to say though, Rocky, when you do look at it, you do kind of think, "Wow, it is a shame in a way, though, that it's come to this."
It is, but it's never too late.
No, no.
It would be nice
if
to see it restored.
Able to, do something about that, especially the whole site, and turn that into maybe another education center or maybe for something, so the villager come into work as well. So instead of like leaving more or less, half used, and most importantly, is nobody going to restore anything. So they let it collapse. They use it until it collapse. Basically, that is this. And one thing is that this particular cathedral, we're able to trace back a lot of history from it, as well as the last piece who was there now is in Macau.
In Macau still,
so
90,
yeah?
90s,
yeah? In his 90s. So we're able to chat with him a lot and getting a lot of background information and how it was. This road, they made it like a couple of months ago. This is a new road. So there's a lot of villagers here actually still Catholics around this area.
Wow.
But they have to go to Chekhan, which is about like 15 kilometers from here, another old town. That's a functional church there. That's another thing that you have to look into very quickly. Also, Chekhan is one of the famous old towns. I know it's famous, but you never heard about it. unfortunately, that CITIC group, one of the largest state group of China, going to buy them off. So they're clearing two-thirds of the people out of that particular town.
Oh, wow.
So if you want to see it, you have to rush very quickly.
I see.
Including the church there and a lot of old buildings. And a lot of movies have filmed there also.
What do they want to buy it for?
They just turned that into like one of the, maybe they rebuild them and then become a tourist town.
I see.
Like the one they have in Shanghai, Suzhou, and that kind of things as well. So conference center.
Expo,
something like that. Yeah.
Sanitary software factory. Expedition.
Kitchen
software. I mean, driving here, there was tons of toilet shops and everything, wasn't there? Chinese.
Yeah, is there a... like a bathroom factory around here or a kitchen?
We've seen a lot of kitchen sanitary software.
That's a part of the Kaiping called Shuiko, water mouth. And that's all the sanitary where whole China.
They do supply the whole of China.
Well,
pretty
mainly,
much.
Very much. And also exporting
right.
all of them there.
Shuiko.
And there's about 4,000 factories.
4,000?
4,000 factories manufacturing all sanitary.
Wow.
That's bustling, this little village under the Bang'an tree. A man eating his noodles. Ni hao.
Those are actually all the villagers that volunteer to do the road.
Oh, lovely.
So, and the lady provide them with a little snack in the afternoon before dinner.
Oh, that's marvelous.
So they're after the break. So you can see that.
Community. Traveling together.
We're being offered some noodles.
And some rather strong baijiu by the look of it. You've had your KFC, haven't you, already today?
That looks better than a KFC,
it
though.
It certainly does.
Noodles, some tofu, probably some fresh chicken in there. This is awesome, like the whole village out eating together. Huh?
They must have known you were coming, Anthony.
Oh, so this is really community. So
this is nice. Do you think they'd mind if I took a photo?
No, they don't.
Yeah, that's quite great.
He also kicked you, actually.
This is the people, actually, they try to rebuild the ancestral hall over there. They've been collapsed. You see the ground over there?
It collapsed.
Yeah, it collapsed, so they're going to do redo it.
Okay, like you've done in the other project.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. What did you say, Anthony?
Don't seem to see a lot of stuff about gangsters now in China.
A different one, they have mafia instead.
A bit more so organised now.
Yeah, they don't rob the building, but they rob the bank.
Yeah. Just change their customers.
Oh, that's right. good for them. I'd rather they rob banks than villages. So that's not such a bad thing.
If they come into Raja Village, you do want one of those.
Why, yeah.
Diallos, yeah? You get up there with your spikes.
Boiling water, he said. The holes to be boiling water out.
Great idea.
Boiled triad for dinner.
I hope we won't be getting any of those. Well,
maybe that's why he mentioned my irritable bowels. Being gangster for dinner. Listen. New toilet? Does that go straight into the fishing lake?
You know, in seriousness, Anthony, 2 hours out of town of Zhuhai, and we really are in a completely different place, aren't we?
That's what I love about China. You leave the city for a couple of hours, you're literally out in the sticks.
Water and some rice, and this one is 10 kati of the beef, and the other 10 kati of the pork, and 5 kati of the rice, the sticky rice. So it is very clear the way they do the accounting of the village.
It's like big orange posters on the walls with writing.
Yeah.
And it's all of the donations the villagers have made.
For this particular project.
Building the road.
Building the road, improving the road project. But this guy donated $1,000. This guy $200 RMB. And not only that, for example, this guy even donated Marlboro, one stack of Marlboro.
Cigarettes.
Cigarettes.
Donating for what, this just this area?
For the project of the road. So these people working, and some people, you know, need to buy some material, and somehow they need to eat and drink as well, because the whole village contribute the works, but somebody had to raising the fund as well.
Sure.
So, but show you how interesting they are, because people donated money and people donated, for example, this is the herbal tea, 2 box of herbal tea. And this one, like, you know, 1 box of mineral water. And chrysanthemum tea.
Any condoms anywhere?
That's not for work. That's for the evening work. And this guy with a bitter melon, you see? 20 kati of meter.
Bitter melon.
And chicken, one chicken.
Any chicken feet? We got chicken feet in there?
Well, you got a whole chicken. You don't.
Whole chicken? Yeah, come on, don't be tight.
Yeah, they were quite
whole
generous.
Chicken. Not just the feet.
Yeah.
And you can also donate just yourself, can't you? Like,
yeah,
the manual labor.
Work. Yes, yeah. Basically they are. You know, those people, like 20, 30 of them sitting there, and they are the one working, and now they're having a break. Hello. And then later start again to work again. And they all come from the same village.
I could put you up, Anthony, next time, get you up here for the tool things.
Like a curious little girl coming to see what we are.
This is May 20 to May 27. So you see,
it's really brand new. We're really...
A national pole there, so that they're gonna flag. So that
this is just after they finish the road, they put a pole up with a flag on it.
Yeah, so that's important to them this day. They used to put Chairman Mao, but now they put a flag. So that that means, again, you know, they feel more confident that they've done something good.
Good.
And nobody's gonna bother them anymore.
Yeah. I think like a good flag.
Yeah. The national flag.
Yeah.
You can walk through this narrow.
Lovely weather, isn't it? It's just cooling down.
Lucky.
It's
lucky.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
No murkiness at all. Come on, Anthony.
Shall we walk through the little narrow street so that we can show you something?
Come on, boy.
You see the houses? They have this thing to scare the devil.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It didn't work. Here.
They forgot they should put chocolate or something for the Western Devil.
Yes, yeah. Okay, problem is it would melt, wouldn't it? Probably.
It
too hot. Yes, we're going for a very narrow, kind of like a backyard pathway that connects
and usually
the back of the
houses. You can see the two door face to door together so that they can actually borrow, you know, in the kitchen. This is usually a kitchen area, so they can borrow salt and water, sugar together, and also they can hang things together and check their gossip together.
You know, that was very similar in England in the old days. They used to keep doors open and milk bottles on the steps. And now, if you go, say, to Liverpool, all of the old red brick buildings have barriers and spikes on top so people, you know, burglars don't climb into these areas and go into people's houses. Shame, really. I suppose at least we don't need to have watchtowers to stop invading triads. That's one advantage, swings and roundabouts. So, Rocky, a lot of these old village houses are completely derelict. Yes, no one's living in them, a lot of them, right?
That's right, because a lot of them actually have moved overseas and they left the house abandoned. A lot of them actually also moved into the city to work, some more work in the city. And for those who have money, actually, they probably prefer to build a new one outside, which is cheaper than renovate the old one. And besides, they can occupy another piece of land.
In this place, of course, Kaiping, famous for a lot of the Chinese that emigrated together.
It's the hometown of the overseas Chinese. So,
In terms of China, are we saying one of the top five?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Of overseas Chinese?
In China, if you look at all the major places where Chinese emigrated away from China, would you say Kaiping's one of the top? One in terms of numbers.
Well, actually, we're talking about the Wuyi, the five counties, which is this area. Kaiping is one of the five counties, and that's the majority of the overseas Chinese still currently live from here, Taishan. So when you do the study and so on, they all.
You're making a lady giggle, Anthony. Nihao.
This is so good.
One of the old Chinese hats on the wicker. Triangular hat.
Are you getting a picture of an old Chinese alleyway with a woman with her old traditional hat on?
Yeah. Perfect. What's your head there, Anthony? So, and of course, a lot of Chinese left, you were saying, in the gold rush to go to places like San Francisco, yeah?
Yeah.
In the early 1900s, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And never came back?
Well, they do come back, but not really, not that many. Mm. And they do definitely sending money back to build the family house and so on, and with the will of hoping they're going to come back. But a lot of them actually settling in with new family, with kids born in, you know, America, Australia, so on. So, and the second generation are really not that favoured to return. At that time, China is still having a little problems. So so that's why leading the new generation, like, less passion of being back again. But the oldie who were born here really want to be home and even bury in their hometown.
Sure. Is there any special name that you give for a Chinese person that leaves and then comes back? Is there a special name?
Hua Qiao.
Are there any Gua Chiao donations on that wall for this project?
Not usually. But again, Gua Chiao in the early 90s.
What does that mean, Gua Chiao?
Gua Chiao, that means overseas Chinese. Oh, they're here now, back here already. Aye. That's quick.
What, the Gua Chiao?
Gua Chiao, no. Yeah.
That's quick.
So this is one of the students from Guangzhou, who come and now doing some intern work. He was here 2 years ago with us.
But this time he'll come here again.
Okay. Hey. Hello, hello, hello.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, sir. Chris. Come from Guangzhou today.
Sorry. Come from Guangzhou.
Yeah. Guangzhou student. What's your name?
My name is Lei Jianhua.
Lei Jianhua.
The parents already finished their talk presentation. So,
where are we heading to now? What's it
called? We're going to go to Tangkou Community Center.
Okay, this is the post office.
That's the ex-post office. In those days, post office are very important, especially this area, because that's where you send money or receive money, and also where you make collect call. Do you know collect call those days?
I'm not sure. What? Oh, yeah. Collect call. Collect. Sorry.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. So they don't have money to pay. But in America, the family have money to pay. So they make the appointment and what time and come to the post office.
So the only way to stay in touch with their family. Yeah.
I like
a telephone call.
Yeah, collect call.
Telephone call.
Pay the other end. The other end pays.
Because they don't have a phone here.
They don't have a phone and they don't have money.
The money to call. Yeah, they have a phone here, obviously, otherwise they wouldn't.
Well, they don't have the phone in the post office.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. They do the collect call to the post office. So how many little areas are there, like the village we just saw?
Oh, it's a lot.
It was about 2,000 diablos, right. So there's going to be about 2,000 villages.
2,000
diablos, at least. Oh, so similar, right? Oh, okay.
Ridiculous question.
Well, there could be more than one diablo in a village.
Oh, there are more than one diablo in a village, you're right.
How many do you reckon?
But there's a lot of village that doesn't have diablo either.
On average, how many diablos per village, Rocky?
Usually one.
A lot of these old buildings that we're seeing, just if we're driving along as well, they look almost like European-esque in design, like French kind of archways on the windows and balconies.
Because the person who sent money to build a house, they're in a Western country, and they want to show off by giving the designer that I want a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Okay.
That's why you kind of like a Western-ish thing. Our village is over there, the Changdong village over there.
Yeah, it's
not far from.
They are very Portuguese looking.
Very much so, aren't they? Yes.
Portuguese.
It looks very similar to Macau in a way.
Yeah, the early Macau.
Early Macau,
because a lot of people here moved to Macau. See?
Oh, okay.
Because they're so easy to get into Macau. And it's also so easy to get into Hong Kong. So you see a lot of these Taiping people in Hong Kong.
So we're arriving at the community centre.
So the parent, the mother's
here.
Hello, hi.
Hello, Victor.
Nice to meet you, Chris. Yeah,
Chris.
Anthony.
Okay, we go in there and then we can have a coffee.
You coffee? Lovely.
Sure, sounds great. Rocky, is this usually a bike shop?
No, because we have a very good bike for people cycling around.
Because some of them are brand new.
Yes, because we just new.
Still got the wrapping.
Because we give the other one in Changdong, and then we bought a new one here.
Yeah. This is a new project, buddy. Hot off the press. Woo. Inside view.
Hello.
Ni men hao. Ba da hao. Hi, hi. Two tables with young ones on. Hello, nice to meet you. Oh, you come from America?
Yeah, you guys. I was just about to say, you don't look Chinese.
No, I guess not, yeah.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. So where in America have you come from?
Virginia.
Atlanta, Virginia. And Atlanta, okay. When did you arrive?
I just got here 2 years ago.
Okay, 2 days ago.
Yeah, welcome. I've been here for over a little over 2 weeks.
And cool. Did you come together if you're both from Atlanta?
I'm trying not to look American.
You fit in very well, yes. Yeah.
I
wouldn't have found
Chinese.
You. Yeah.
Chinese ancestry or? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
From the this part?
I have no idea.
Oh, there you go.
I have no idea where my ancestors come from.
So, cold drink, beer, or coffee?
Oh, should we have a beer? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. The sun goes down.
Where are you all from?
I was going to say coffee. Then.
We're from England. Okay, I'll have a coffee. I can't drink on my own. That's... You'll get dizzy, did you say? Zing. You need some zing. We're from England, but we live in China now.
Oh.
In Zhuhai. Zhuhai. It's 2 hours from here. So it's really nice to come out into
if you guys want to visit a cool outback. City, go and see Zhuhai. It's a really nice little city. It's very close as well, right next to the sea. Little beaches.
Yeah, it's nice. Next to Macau.
Little mountains. Very cool.
So, is this your first time here?
I came here last summer. So
okay.
This is my second summer here.
Right.
My first time.
Your first time.
Back to the same place. Back
yeah. First time.
Yeah.
Cool.
First time for you too. So how long are you going to be here for?
For another 2 weeks.
2 weeks, I guess like a month, right?
Yeah.
You're here for the summer.
I stay in Hong Kong.
Okay.
So I'll be here like in total for like 6 weeks.
Okay.
So I'm going to be coming back and forth from Hong Kong.
What are you doing? What do you, what's
I'm
the...
Volunteering.
Okay.
I'm just volunteering to like get service hours.
Volunteering to get service hours?
Yeah.
Is that
like
good?
Community service, or are you law?
Which prison have you been let out from? Might be the same one as yours, Anthony. Awesome. So service hours for you, and then you've come for
interning here at the King Dong project.
Okay, yeah. And that project will allow you to do what?
Good question. We've kind of been trying to figure that out. We help with like small jobs they need, mostly just to get international experience. I came with a smaller research project to see like public perception of increasing westernization in the rural village here. So I've been interviewing people.
So we're interviewing now secretly,
yes,
undercover, like, for the China Jedi podcast. I can't tell.
Thank you for listening to the China Jedi podcast, shining humor, love, and light on Chinese life.
May the smile be with you.